Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, listeners. Welcome back to the 2018 Garden Goals Challenge, Day 5, Get Organized. So it's Sunday, January 7th. Sorry, I missed a couple of days, but I am excited. It's actually better this way because I came home Friday night and was talking to Mike, and we got out the 2018 garden journal and data keeper, and we're writing down some of our goals and things that we had going. We were talking about seeds. Mike was going, how come I don't have any seed catalogs? And I was reading this Rodale post about January is a good time to go through your seeds, organize your seeds, figure out, you know, what's not good, get rid of some of the old stuff, sort through, figure out what do you need to get some of, what are you gonna. So we made our list of dream seeds, and he was talking about last year we got the purple dragon's tooth bush beans from Bountiful Gardens, and so where are we gonna get those this year, because they, I guess, aren't selling seeds. So I'm gonna have to do a little research about that. And just figuring out, you know, what do we want to grow? What are our dreams? What are we thinking about this year? Like, one of the things Mike talked about is golden beets. He said, get me as many golden beet seeds as you can because we could sell those. He sold a bunch of those for $2 a pound, as many as we were willing to part with, which I wasn't wanting to part with any last year because they were so good and I just wanted to keep them for ourselves. And, you know, we didn't have enough of those to last the summer. Forget, like, be so nice to have some of those now. I mean, they are just like candy. You can eat those like lollipops, the little miniature ones. They are so good. So, you know, what's your goal? If your goal is to build a deep bed, do you know what materials you're going to choose? You know, how much are they going to cost? Where are you going to get them? Start figuring out your budget. Where are you going to get the soil to fill it? I mean, deep beds take a lot of soil, but I mean, they're totally worth it. So you're going to want to find that soil. You know, what are you going to put in there? Are you going to put seeds in there, starts, transplants? Are you going to put annuals in there? Are you going to put permanent perennials in there? Like, Mike and I last year, so if you go to freegardencourse.com, I put a video of this deep bed that Mike made last year that we were going to transplant our raspberries, because our raspberries finally got like overgrown with quack grass, or I don't really know what happened, but our raspberry bed that we had for years and years finally just, I don't know, there's like two plants left in there last year. So we need a new raspberry bed, and Mike put this bed together. He put the cardboard down to, you know, get rid of the grass underneath it, and then we filled it with soil, but we never did get any raspberry plants to transplant in there. And now we're talking about maybe making that into an asparagus bed this year or something else. And then he has these other two deep beds that he's always put annuals in, that he's always put either peppers or potatoes or lettuce, or it's kind of rotated green beans. They've had just about everything in there, but he's thinking about making them into the raspberry beds this year and maybe getting some blueberry bushes. And so trying to figure out where to put things. And like another thing that I like to talk about a lot is like, make sure you're thinking about your water source, because like we've tried blueberry bushes before, we've tried asparagus before, and I think both of those and even asparagus that come up in the spring have not done well because of a lack of water. We have not had them. Now the asparagus might have also been in a shady spot. Maybe they needed, and I almost think where we put the blueberries was kind of shady, but I'm always surprised at how much sun things need. But water needs to be convenient. So make sure your water source is convenient. So, you know, is your goal to create a water feature for the bees? You know, what's it going to be made out of? Where's it going to go? How are you going to access water? What can they stand on while they're drinking so they don't drown? And like Mike made this cutest little creek. And then it got, like, goes into a pond, and then eventually the pond water is going to recycle back, and it's going to be like this, you know, cycling thing. But the bees love it. Right now we just put the hose at the top of it and it just kind of gently trickles all day long. And moss grew on the rocks that are on the bed of this little creek bed thing that he built. And the bees just love to sit on the moss. The moss is saturated with the water, so sometimes they just drink right out of that. It's just so sweet. They totally love that feature. So a water feature. And if you're going to have bees, like, that's an important thing. Bees need water. As a matter of fact, I had reached out to a guy once many, many years ago to see if we could get some bees that have, he has like hives all over Lincoln County where we live. And he said that we were too far from the nearest creek and he wouldn't give us his bees because he didn't think that we had enough water here for them. That was before we dug our deep well, of course. Might even have been before we even dug our shallow well. If your goal is to plant an orchard, have you picked out your fruit trees? Do you need fencing? If you, so, how much fencing will you need? Will you need a post hole digger? Where are you going to get your fence posts? Like, we live on 20 acres, so Mike usually just cuts down some of the trees here, which in a lot of ways is like thinning, but he still generally needs other fence posts. And then he's got to, you know, peel the bark off and do that whole thing. You know, having a good fence hole digger. So, like, if you're going to need tools, if you're going to want to get a broad fork this year, like, I think making a list of not just seeds, but tools that you really want to get, you know. And then, that's what I was going to say, was yesterday I was at the library and a woman was talking to me about her biggest struggle, even, and she lives right in town, is fencing for the deer. That she said the deer and the grasshoppers are the two ones that just destroy her garden. So that's her big challenges. If your goal is to plant an herb garden, do you have a list of the herbs you want to go? Do they need full sun? Do they need shade? Do they stay out all year? Do you need to keep them in pots so you can bring them in during the winter, like basil? I usually just keep in a pot because in Montana, you could have a freeze on any night of the year. I mean, we've had freezes on August 8th, I think I've documented. We've had freezes in July. And basil is just like really fragile. And so I just almost always keep in a pot. Although I have grown bigger crops of basil that I've wanted to make for like pesto, or like if you're a farmer that wants to sell to chefs, you might want to put like some specialty Thai basil or lemon basil, but you're going to want to like keep an eye on it. To me, basil is like the most fragile thing that we grow. So, and then rosemary, my mom has talked to me about, she just digs up her rosemary and puts it in a pot and brings it in the winter. But I think that's another one. And I had the sweetest little rosemary plant. It was doing so good. And then I put it by the window one weekend. And when I came back, it just died. So rosemary's always been a tough one for me. Lavender is really tough to get growing. So, you know, if you want to plant an herb garden, now on the flip side, sage grows really good here. Oregano, I have so much oregano. And I did finally make oregano pesto last year. I kind of cut it with some basil, so it was part basil, part oregano pesto. I always use walnuts because pine nuts are just like a little bit over my budget. But that came out really good. So make a list of all the things you need to purchase, things that you need to gather. Keep looking at those Facebook online sites. See if there's like something pops up. You know, once you have your list made, you're going to be a little more, you know, you definitely want to keep an eye out for good soil. Maybe somebody last year, I wish we would have chipped in with somebody was going to buy some soil. There's a great place down halfway down Flathead Lake in Montana. She was going to get, I think it was like $150 for a pallet of soil. And I wish we would have shared that with her. That was a great deal. So keep an eye out, figure out what you need to purchase, what you need to gather, make a specific list of your steps. Lesson four was the SMART goals. You know, make sure you kind of have an idea of how long each project's going to take, where it's going to go. Did I talk about annuals versus perennials? So if you don't know, annuals are vegetables or plants that go in the ground and need to be replaced each year. Perennials are ones that go in permanent beds. They're not going to come back. So you don't want to mix your perennials and your annuals. I know that was a hard lesson when Mike and I first got married and he started gardening. I couldn't really quite get the grasp on that. You know, zinnias, you need to plant them every year. Snapdragons, you need to plant those every year. But there's other perennials like irises and tulips that come back every year. Now, granted, those come from bulbs, but they spread. Echinaceas, my echinaceas come back every year. So you don't want to put things that are going to come back every year in a bed where you have annuals that you're going to dig up, because you don't want to be digging up the soil around your perennials. Although I did dig up the echinaceas and they still managed to grow somehow. Mike was like, what are you doing? a couple of summers ago. So that's a big one. If you're new to gardening, you need to make sure that you've got that planned out. So if you have any questions, if there's anything Mike and I can do to help you, you know, you can reach out to me at orgpodcast@gmail.com. Mike's email's mikesgreengarden@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Facebook. We'd love to see you join the Organic Gardener Facebook group. And if there's anything that we can do to help you on your garden journey, let us know. And remember, I put the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper on sale on Amazon for $8.95 during the 2018 Garden Challenge. So if you want to get a copy of that book to help you record your garden journey, to keep write your goals down in, to record what you're doing this year, it's on sale for only $8.95. So thanks for listening and have a wonderful day. Hey, Green Future Growers, don't forget to get your copy of the 2018 Organic Gardener Podcast Garden Journal and Data Keeper available now at Amazon.com. It's a place to keep track of your organic gardening journey where you can record temperature, weather, recipes, produce that you grew, produce that you bought, and just all your successes and failures and challenges and dreams for the future, all your garden goals. Keep them track of them in one place. 225 pages that will go through each week of the year for the 2018 year. And just there's blank pages in there where you can sketch or write or do anything that will help you record your journey. So don't forget to get a copy of the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper available at Amazon. You can go to the organicgardenerpodcast.com/2018 for the link. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener Podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.